Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 3. This week we'll be looking primarily at verse 4. Let's pray and then we will read Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 together. God in heaven, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things in your word. We pray that it would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that we would cherish your word more than gold, even much fine gold. May we taste its sweetness. May we live according to it in full hope that you will accomplish every promise found here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we looked at those first three verses, didn't we? And we saw, young people, didn't we? We saw that your primary duty as a young person is to obey your parents. We saw that is the primary thing that is being addressed here. We also saw that you must obey them in the Lord, that your obedience isn't just to them. You need to be submitting to God, and particularly to Christ, believing in Him, offering obedience to your parents through Him, because if you just offer obedience to your parents, it's not enough. You need the Lord Jesus. This week, we're turning our focus from you, young people, onto your parents. Turnabout's fair play, right? Now we get to focus in on your parents, because even though you have duties to your parents, and primarily one duty, they have many duties to you. And so we need to keep this in mind, that Paul doesn't just call out the children that they have duties, but fathers. And by this we understand not just the fathers, but all parents, both parents, that they too have duties. And so as we look at this, we need to see how Paul instructs the heads of household and by extension the parents on how to raise children. Now, there are any number of books. If you go to the self-help section in your local Barnes and Noble, or you go to the Christian section, or you go to the parenting section, I'm pretty sure they have a whole parenting section, you will find any number of books trying to answer this question: how should I raise my children? Well, Paul isn't giving us a full manual on how to raise our children. However, he is giving us quite the list of things that we can do and consider as we ask this question: how am I supposed to raise my children? There are several that come to mind. The first is this: how are we to raise our children? We need to raise our children with gentleness. With gentleness. We see this in verse 4, don't we? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. This is another way of Paul saying, don't be harsh, don't be severe. Parents, with gentleness. Raise your children with gentleness. You see, one of the dangers of being an authority figure, and several of you know this, maybe you are an employer, maybe you have been in some sort of position of authority before, you know that in the sphere of authority, there's always this temptation to be severe, to be harsh, to provoke those under you with anger. Politicians, they draw out the worst in us, don't they? Well, why? Because they're in a place of authority, and it is very easy to slide into this pattern of action to draw out anger from their constituents. In the same way, perhaps you've had a very harsh boss. I remember one boss that I had. I was in seminary. Wasn't connected to the seminary. It was a bookstore outside of the seminary. And our manager, one of the things that she had us do was she had us take care of old records. Not records as in like, you know, vinyls, but records like old receipts and old POs and all this kind of stuff. They were stacked up in the back room, tons, years, 20 years worth of receipts. And she said, okay, we got to dispose of these. We got to get rid of them. And yeah, there's an industrial shredder right next door, but I'm going to have all of you, my associates, rip them by hand, box after box. That's harsh. That's severe. That's just trying to use your authority to be a tyrant. And she's listening to this sermon. You need to repent of your tyrannical nature. Hopefully, she's probably not listening to this, but it's true for parents as well, isn't it? We must be watchful over ourselves, lest we act tyrannically and provoke our children to anger. In other words, we must raise our children with gentleness. Gentleness. As parents, we're not tyrants. We're not despots. Our children are not slaves to merely do our bidding. Whatever we tell them, they must do, for I am the ruler. There's severity behind that mindset. One commentator reminds us that we must not be given to unnecessary rules and regulations and endless petty correction by which children are discouraged. This is exactly what we read about in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, where the Apostle Paul, kind of in parallel with this Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 text, says, Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. It feeds directly into this text, doesn't it? And we can see that provoking our children leads them to discouragement, which then fuels anger, right? That if you're constantly beaten up with discouragement, with harshness, it morphs into resentment and anger. Gentleness, therefore, gentleness is the way set before us on how we should raise our children. Gentleness is the way. Perhaps we need to start this road towards gently parenting our children by having a new perspective. We need to focus on our children's hearts. We need to focus on our children's hearts. Rather than merely their behavior. Our children aren't machines. I have to remind myself of that. That my child is not a machine, that if I just kind of tweak him there, he's going to completely change. But it's not a matter of just changing their behavior. We need to go deeper. We need to desire obedience from the heart, not just a change in behavior. You see, when we focus on their hearts, realizing this is a little person with a soul, with a mind, with a will, with affections. And this soul is given over to sin. And it's my job to care for that little one's heart. That once we have that mindset, it perhaps will make us rethink how we parent. We need to parent with gentleness. Raise them in gentleness. Not provoking them to anger. Not with severity. Severity will not win over their hearts, but gentleness might help. But we also need to think about how we give correction because of sin. When we correct our children, we shouldn't do it out of anger. I know that's how we often think about it. We think about correction being a very swift disciplinary action to get them to stop in the moment. And sometimes that's necessary, but sometimes it's best to stop, step back, take a deep breath, cool down a little bit, talk to your children about what they did, why it was sinful, why it was wrong. Lead them to see their own sin with calmness, with directness. Then discipline. See, discipline should not be revenge. It's correction. It's seeking to correct a thought process, a behavior. And the best way to do that is with gentle, patient correction. Correction is best done, not in anger, but with a calm and gentle explanation. Gentleness. We also need to remember in all this the gentleness of our Father in heaven. He gives us the great example of how to parent, doesn't he? Remember Psalm 103, verses 13 and 14. As a father has compassion on his children, so God has compassion upon us. He knows we are dust. He knows our nature. He knows our weaknesses. And he deals with us in gentleness and compassion and kindness. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So gentleness. Gentleness is the way of our Heavenly Father towards us. And the more we study that, perhaps the more we will see, oh, gentleness is the way for me as well. So how am I supposed to raise my children? One, with gentleness. Perhaps you've provoked your children to anger. Maybe you've estranged your children. Reach out to them. Seek their forgiveness. But first, seek the forgiveness of your Heavenly Father, who in Christ will look upon you in pity. He has compassion to you, Christian. Receive that compassion. Receive the freeness of His mercy. And then go and show compassion to your children. We read, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Raising children with gentleness, however, does not mean taking a laissez-faire or a hands-off attitude towards raising your children. We must raise our children, secondly, with discipline. Discipline, that's what we read in verse 4. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Discipline. The Greek word there is paideia. It means to be corrective. We actually see an example of this word being used in a very similar way in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, or rather verse 32. 1 Corinthians 11:32, what do we read there? "But if we judged ourselves truly, then we would not be judged, but we are judged by the Lord. We are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." So what is this? It is the Lord stepping in and disciplining those whom he loves. We see that it can be done through verbal admonition when our children are doing something wrong, but it can also be more than that. Proverbs 13:24. You remember that text that the one who spares the rod hates his son. Imagine that. That sparing the rod is actually hating your son, hating your child. Which is very, very, very different than what our world says today. I remember when I was about 6 years old, that you have these moments in your childhood that really stick out in your mind. One of them was when my father did not spare the rod because he loved me. I was 6 years old. I was hanging out with some older kids, 12, 13 years old. They all had BB guns and they handed me one and said, "Let's play war." And, I'm not a crack shot, but I aimed for the head and, lodged a pellet right in one kid's skull. So there's blood. He's running to his house. He was fine. Praise the Lord. He was fine. But I was in trouble now. And my dad, he is not one to be harsh, but he didn't have a paddle, and so what did he do? He went to his wood shop, and he took time to fashion one. And he came back to the house, and he used it. And somehow, that was the only time he used it. But it sticks out in my mind, and I see that, and I'm like, that was a good lesson learned. That was an appropriate, he loved me. And I think he actually went up to the wood shop to kind of cool off a little bit to make that. There was some wisdom in that too. But what I saw there was a father who needed to give correction, who gave punishment that fit the crime. And I probably deserved a lot worse than that. But when our children sin, when we sin, it needs to be addressed. Corrective punishment must come. Love demands it. And as we As we saw in Proverbs 13:24, it's a sign of hatred to spare the rod. Just as God disciplines those whom he loves and cares for, Hebrews 12:6, so we must also as parents give discipline to our children, correcting them. Remember, we're seeking to guide and shepherd their hearts. Discipline helps to impress upon them the seriousness of sin. But young people, look, when you are being disciplined, it's not because your parents hate you. It's not because they're trying to get at you. They're doing it because they love you, which sounds contradictory, but it's not. They know that if you continue in that kind of pattern, you will either hurt yourself or condemn yourself. And so what are they trying to do? They're trying to stop you. And they're trying to bring correction. They do it because they love you. So we must raise our children with discipline. But we also need to raise them with instruction. Again, we see this in Ephesians 6:4. What do we read? Back there. Ephesians 6:4 reads, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The Greek word is nuthasia. It shows up in 1 Corinthians 10:11. You remember that text. That's when Paul is talking about, begins by talking about Israel's baptism into the Red Sea. They pass through. All of Israel is baptized into Moses at the Red Sea. They drank from the water which was Christ, and yet they went on in disobedience and unfaithfulness. And so what does Paul say? Look, this is an example for your instruction, that same word, nuthasia. The scriptures, therefore, these things were written for your instruction, Paul says. The scriptures, primarily, is what he's talking about. These things were written down that we might learn from them. And so here, instruction is for learning. As parents, we are to instruct our children. We are their primary teachers, to instruct them with our mouths and with our lives. Gentleness, discipline, instruction. There's nothing uniquely Christian about this, though, is there? Nothing uniquely Christian. This is good principles that you'd find in almost any parenting book, perhaps, or at least older ones. They don't necessarily have to be Christian. Unbelievers are to go with gentleness, with discipline, with instruction to raise up their children. These are good and sound truths for every parent. However, the calling for Christian parents is a little different, isn't it? Paul addresses that. It's not just a matter of gentleness. It's not just a matter of discipline. It's not just a matter of instruction. But we read that they must raise their children in what? In the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So not only are we to raise our children with gentleness, not only are we to raise our children with discipline and instruction, but we are to raise them with loyalty to Christ as our goal. That's the Christian calling. That's the high calling of being a Christian parent. That it is the discipline and instruction of the Lord that we are seeking to give to them. Now, what does that mean? That means that Christian parents must have as their highest goal, their loftiest ambition, that the highest goal is this, the conversion of their children to Christ. Dr. Lloyd-Jones put it this way, "In the forefront of the minds of Christian parents must ever be the thought that the children are to be brought up in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This is the peculiar task to which Christian parents alone are called. This not only their supreme task, their greatest desire and ambition for their children should be that they should come to know the Lord Jesus Christ." It means, friends, that our discipline must be done because sin is deadly and displeasing to God. And that sin that goes unforgiven, sin that is not covered by the blood of Christ, that it's deadly. It means that we must instruct our children not simply how to be a good citizen, but but how to live for God, how to know Christ, how to believe in Christ. We do these things with gentleness and love so as not to discourage their coming. We must do these things knowing that it is not their teacher's job at school. It's not their pastor's job, even though the teacher at school and I certainly would be happy to assist you in these things. But it's your job as parents to raise your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Your teachers at Conway Christian or your pastor. We want to help. But it is the duty of the Christian parent. It is my calling to raise my child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's yours as well. We have goals for our children, don't we? We want them to be good students. We want them to love to learn. We want them to have friends. We want them to be healthy and active. We want them to one day have a stable job, maybe go to college first and then get a stable job. We want them to be married. We want them to have children. These are all great, great goals. They're great goals. But as a Christian parent, your priority is not found in any of those things for your children. Your priority must be that which Paul puts here, to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, we've entitled this series, Little Churches in the Local Church, because your goal in your family needs to be the worship of God. Not just your worship, not just your wife's worship, not just your husband's worship, but the worship of your whole family, that everyone might be a disciple of Christ, believing in Him, confessing Him, obeying Him, that is our ultimate goal. Your home is a mission field. You are one who is called to make a disciple, disciples of your children. Your ultimate priority is not to rear upstanding citizens or contributors to society, but to raise up more believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. To make disciples in your home. To have your home be that little church. And you're called to shepherd the souls of your children and to bring them to the chief shepherd and savior of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. To have them be believing members of Christ's kingdom. That if we seek this thing, all these other things, that they'll likely work out, won't they? Just as the Lord Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So parents, raise up your children. That word means nurture, cause them to flourish. Do so with gentleness. Do so with discipline and instruction, but towards this ultimate end, that they may know Christ. Fathers, I want to address you right now. You need to lead your families to the Lord. You need to lead them in the things of God. Lead them in family worship. Pray with them. Read the Bible to them. Share the gospel with your children while you yourself believe in it and walk in it. Mothers, support your husband in this. Support your husbands in this task. Encourage them. Pray for them. Paul primarily is addressing the fathers, but I do think it is a little bit broader than that. But we can't negate this, that the father should not be absent here. Fathers, seek to be a pastor even in your own home, shepherding your children's hearts. Pray for them. Encourage them. Gently deal with them. Discipline them when they need it. Instruct them always, but lovingly point them to Christ in all things. But what if I failed? And look, I've only been a parent for about 15 months now, and I guarantee you I've failed more times than I can count to do even these things. What do I do if I have failed at this? First, very simply, seek God's forgiveness in Christ. If we have been severe, which we all have, if we have failed to discipline when we ought, which we all have, if we have failed to instruct, which we all have, we need to go to God. This is a command. And we have all failed it. But we need to seek Christ in this time. We ourselves need that gentle nurture and admonition of the Lord that He lays upon us, that we might be brought back to Christ. So seek Christ if you failed. Seek the forgiveness of your children. Well, Sam Henley wouldn't know how to forgive at this point. But perhaps your children do know. If you have failed them, ask their forgiveness. It is not above you as a parent to ask for forgiveness from your children. And perhaps that's a good way in which the door will be open for you to talk about Christ and the forgiveness that Christ offers. But you may say, well, my children are long gone. They're out of the house. I failed to do this when they were in the house, and now they're wayward. Well, seek their forgiveness still. They may not be believers. They may not be professing Christ. But it shows a humble and contrite attitude. When you can go to your unbelieving children, and if you have failed in any way, say, look, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that I failed as a parent in this area. I did not raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Would you forgive me? Maybe that will open up opportunity to share the gospel with them afresh. But what if you tried? What if you tried to do this? What if you had this as your life verse as a parent? You had it on your wall. And every time you went into the kitchen, there it was reminding you, this is what I should do with gentleness, with discipline, with instruction. I'm to lead my children to the Lord. And yet they never believed. What if you tried? And they're walking in unfaithfulness. You tried your very best. You had them in church. You did family worship. You prayed with them. You taught them the Bible. You put them in a Christian school. Or maybe you had another avenue by which you were seeking to throw them before Christ in the means of grace. And yet, they have not believed. Well, first, friends, we need to be reminded that it's God who changes the heart, not us. As hard as that is, it is God who converts the sinner. We may put them in the means of grace. We may expose them to the gospel. We may teach them of Christ. But it is God who has to convert. So don't beat yourself up. You've sown the seed. Let me encourage you with this. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. When you have them over for Thanksgiving coming up in a few weeks, speak to them about spiritual matters. It may be hard. It may be awkward. But keep sowing. And keep praying. Keep praying. The seeds that you have sown during the 18 years that they were in your home, the seeds that you are sowing now, who knows, that God may till up their hard heart and one of those seeds might fall through. And it may not be tomorrow. It may not even be while you're living. But God can open their heart. He can. Keep praying. And God may still use your efforts, your faulty efforts. No one's efforts are perfect. But He may use them. He may even now be working in their hearts. Don't beat yourself up. Keep sowing and keep praying. And in this, we continue this calling to bring up our children with gentleness, with discipline, with instruction, but with our primary goal, this, that they might know the Lord, that they might trust in Him, and not only be a part of our family, but the family of Almighty God. through the blood of Christ, His Son. Let us pray together. God, we pray that You would show us our inability to do these things apart from Your mercy to us. Help us to know Your loving kindness as a Father. Help us to know Your grace and Your mercy in Christ. Help us to know the gentleness of Christ. Help us to learn from You how we can raise our children gently and with discipline and with instruction, pointing them to Christ the Savior. Lord, I pray for those covenant children who have strayed. Bring them home. Bring them to Christ. Pray, Father, for a work of Your Spirit to do so. I pray, Father, for those souls here who are troubled by the path that their children have taken. Father, comfort them with Your promises. Encourage them. Keep them sowing and praying. And I pray, O God, that You would give the increase. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.